This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Happy Wednesday. Thank you for being with us here today. The news mill just keeps going and going and going, and we're pretty excited for it. I have to tell you that it's very amazing to see the left very frustrated over like a TV personality who's going to, you know, potentially lead people into war because they are real big fans of Zelensky.
I didn't know where you were going with that. Gotcha. I walked right down the yellow brick road, and here we are in Emerald City.
I held your hand the whole time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Isn't it ironic?
It is pretty amazing.
Pete Hegseth found his way onto TV after being an All-American BA. He found his way onto TV. Harvard grad, Princeton grad, two-time Bronze Star, served multiple tours overseas. But I honestly didn't know all of that stuff about him until after the news came out and they're like, Pete Hegseth is the Secretary of Defense. And all three of us were like, what? I thought, are they going to pick Ryan Wiggins next?
I mean, I'm not saying no to anything that would be offered.
Let's be real here. The most realistic application of your skills in Trump's cabinet.
Probably as head of the FDA.
Just like a taste tester?
Is kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah. Not for the drugs. No. I don't want to just take all the drugs, but the food.
Really good.
You know, if Planters comes out with a new peanut butter, I'd be like, oh, I guess I need to check that out.
Somebody needs to.
See if there's any non-GMOs in it.
Take one for the American team.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a meme of Robert F. Kennedy, and he's just got this totally straight deadpan face. He's looking right into the camera. And it said, the meme was like, every time I open a bag of potato chips full of chemicals and junk, I just think of RFK looking at me like this, and I put them back.
Like the Jesus meme, like, I'm watching.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah.
Lots of news continues to come through. The biggest news of the morning, two stories that I will highlight. The first being that Donald Trump just finished up a 90-minute meeting with Joe Biden. Would love to be a fly on that wall. Here's how I know that I'm on the right side of this news cycle, because I just want to know more from the entertainment standpoint. Like, I want to soak it in, and I want to understand it as if I'm watching a show unfold, as opposed to, okay, what's the next piece of news that I have to figure out how to deliver to the people and still make them turn into the show tomorrow? It's a totally different way of approaching the news cycle. Senator John Thune has been named the majority leader in the Senate. I know a lot of MAGA-type conservatives were pushing really hard for Rick Scott. Cornyn was in the mix there as well. Cornyn gets a lot of hate.
Yeah, he does.
It's like if you were looking, and I know a bit about all of the people who are, not all the people, a lot of the people who are in Congress, and I kind of know how they're painted, and I also know that a lot of people are painted in a particular way that maybe they did one thing one time that the super swampy establishment hated, and so now they're like ultra MAGA deplorables.
Or vice versa.
And then it's the total reverse, which is you're somebody who's been MAGA, but then they compromise on one thing, and now they're dead to the MAGA people. There is nothing good for the American people that is going to be done by folks going to Washington, D.C. and not taking every issue for the issue that is at hand. You can apply your principles to it. I would hope that all of these senators, Democrats included, would have an America First mindset about their approach. I would hope that they would all have a priority consideration for the Americans that are at home that they represent in their state. The policy that we're looking to enforce, the regulation we're looking to increase, the tax we're looking to implement. How does this affect the people in my state? That is where Donald Trump comes in. Because the deep state, the bureaucracy that is sustained from administration to administration to administration, has been served in place of the people. And the truth of the matter is that we have Republicans in the Senate, Collins in Maine, Murkowski in Alaska, two that come up specifically. Mitt Romney is gone.
Yeah, he's
gone. We don't have to do Mitt Romney crap anymore. We don't have to toe the line like, oh, he's a Republican vote and we really need him because the majority is razor thin. He's not there anymore. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski keep getting elected in their states because they are who they are. And that's just the truth of the matter. And if they're representing their constituents in Maine and Alaska, and it doesn't feel a whole lot like what Missouri feels like, well, that's intentional. Because we are not their specific constituents. However, when you have a 53-seat majority in the Senate, it is a relief to the likes of Susan Collins, to the likes of Lisa Murkowski. Is there another Republican senator that's in there right now that I'm forgetting that is a very purple vote?
Not really. Those are the two main ones.
Romney would have been are pretty
the
much
others. And he would have been like, yeah, I'll probably vote for it under the name Pierre Delecto.
So nobody
knows.
You can have a 51-vote majority. I mean, don't forget J.D. Vance is in there to break the tie. But you can have a 51-vote majority, and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski can do whatever they think they need to do to represent their constituents. And if it's a super, divisive issue, maybe sometimes they break Republican. If you're there and you know that you've got to break one way or the other, it depends on how they've campaigned. It depends on other commitments and promises that they've made to their constituents. I think Republicans and Democrats alike are very, very, very sick and tired of watching the people who go to Washington, D.C. represent whatever the interests of the backroom people in their party are telling them that they're going to do, and they want to be able to represent the people. And when you send those individuals to Washington, D.C. with a mandate, you make it very clear of what the agenda is. And the agenda is Donald Trump's. So people who are like boo-hooing over Rick Scott, he was off the first ballot. And then it came down to Cornyn and Thune ended up winning. Donald Trump was fine with all three of them. He had nobody who is, he was telling people not to vote for. He didn't come out and endorse anyone. And to me, that's very smart politics on Donald Trump's part. Why pick one person and then have there be a, oh, you know, when we're in June of 2026 and something really important needs to happen and we're moving into an election year and oh, now we got to take a stand because of some butthurt thing that happened with Senate leadership vote. Only one can be the Senate leader. And I really do believe that Donald Trump is the MAGA representation in this whole conversation. He sets the agenda. America resoundingly sent him to represent that MAGA agenda, that America First agenda. And if you're confused, I consider MAGA and America First synonymous. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
When you say MAGA, you're thinking America First.
Yeah, you say one to one crowd and the other to the other.
When Donald Trump is the executor, he's the one who brings the full-throated MAGA agenda to the table. You will need a broader audience to get some of these things through the House and the Senate. If the House is as razor thin, maybe three seats or something like that, you will need to be able to pass things that bring people in within your party. You want the Murkowskis and the Collins to vote for it. And I do think that if you have somebody who isn't 100% squarely in the MAGA wing, the America First mantra, that that's not what they've branded themselves as, but have publicly committed to fulfilling the agenda that was laid out by the President of the United States, hand in hand with Mike Johnson in the House. And the reports are this morning that Mike Johnson's is a guy. There's not going to be any funny business. Hopefully it's a one ballot, one and done. When you go in with a plan to get stuff done and you have the plan, I mean, my understanding is they have everything drafted already. This is going to be so rapid fire after January 20th. We are going to have to buckle up pretty tightly. Don't get wrapped up in this moment in time in how could they not pick Rick Scott? Everything is melting down and everything is off. Like, stop. Just don't. We can't be in a position where we get the biggest win of wins in my lifetime that I've paid attention to and something like this trips you up. Senator Thune will have to adhere to the agenda that America spoke resoundingly they want to see enacted, especially in this first 2 years. And he's committed. He's committed to do that.
I don't doubt that either. I'm sure there's going to be stuff that we're going to criticize from John Thune and say, you should have been more hardline on this or that. It's going to happen. We'll say the same thing about Mike Johnson, because that's what you do when you're governing. You have to make actual decisions now instead of being the ones that just lob bombs. Democrats get to sit on the sidelines and lob bombs for at least 2 years. But the thing that America voted for, the America First agenda, will be carried out. We're watching it happen before he's even in office, because Trump is ready to roll.
Completely. I love watching all of these appointments come through. I love the commitment to getting the job done and having everything laid in so that upon inauguration, of course, Congress will be sworn in the first week of January. And then a few weeks later, you have the inauguration of Donald Trump back into the office of the presidency. We've got a lot to report on. We're going to continue to do that. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, our friend Robert C. Cahaley back on the Annie Fry Show with us. You definitely are going to want to check out his podcast. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that when we come back. And he's the chief pollster and founder of the Trey Falger Group as well. Let's see how Robert C. Cahaley feels about the pretty accurate polling that the Trey Falger Group was able to inform the American voter leading up to this election. We'll see what his thoughts are when we come back. Robert C. Cahaley in a minute.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Donald Trump, you're going to remember back in 2017, the liberal cities were the resistance, the core of the resistance. What happened in 2024? You think of a major city in the United States, Donald Trump put up the best Republican performance for a Republican nominee for president in at least 20 years, if not the entire 21st century. We're talking about Chicago, Los Angeles, New York City, San Francisco. Across the map, Donald Trump put up historically strong numbers for Republican candidate for president in places that, truthfully, if you had asked me 8 years ago, I would have never thought possible.
CNN's Harry Enten talking about Donald Trump's success. And of course, we saw those swing states all go red. But it's a very interesting story as well to look at the numbers in some of the places that still went blue, but Donald Trump still made significant gains in. The man who has been studying all of this throughout the course of this campaign, and I kind of wonder how excited Robert C. Cahaly is to be on this side of the election, we welcome him back to the Annie Fry Show. You know him as the chief pollster and founder of the Trafalgar Group. He's also on a podcast, which you absolutely must subscribe to, Polling Plus with Robert Cahaly and Matt Towery. Robert, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here today with us.
Thank you for having me. You know, it's amazing when you listen to somebody like Harry Enten, you can tell as much as his network leans left, he loves data.
Yeah,
you can tell he really gets into it. And there's a few others like that. And then there's some who are so partisan in the way they look at data, they can't even admit what's happening.
Yeah.
But I like watching him particularly, and can't remember the guy on NBC, but he's pretty good, too.
Yeah, you can watch him when they're reporting. They kind of get into like an aggressive defensive stance next to the TV, and they're pointing around and everything. They have a real excitement.
He knows how significant it is, and just the change today is what's exciting to him, not who wins. And we feel a lot that same way. I mean, obviously I'm a Republican, but you know, if I'm being honest, on election night, I'm cheering for my polls. I'm cheering for to have had the best polls I could possibly have. One thing I will address from your previous discussion. You know, if you don't like the Senate Majority Leader, how about one simple thing? We elect the House majority in front of everybody on the planet. Why is this a secret?
Yeah.
Maybe that should stop.
Yeah.
Maybe they should elect the Senate Majority Leader the same way they elect the House Majority Leader, because secret promises that the voters don't know about. I mean, I'm not a big fan of people taking secret ballots in representative bodies to begin with. But the most important vote they take is one you don't know about. That's not a good idea.
I find that to be an interesting point, because, if you've got to vote for somebody, then stand by it. It's not as if you're asking anyone to change their vote. You're just asking to make sure that the people in the state of Illinois, where I live, which doesn't have any Republican senators, but in Missouri, where we have two, I would like to know how Senators Hawley and Schmidt voted on that. That's of interest to folks here that live in the state. I think it's a great point. What is your overall? I just want to give you the open floor here. We're speaking with Robert C. Cahaly on the polling, the data that you were able to derive leading up to this election. I feel like from our conversations that we had leading up to this, the Trafalgar Group and your polling was pretty spot on.
Yeah, Matt Towery with Insider Advantage and I have a little bit of distinction among the pollers. We were the only pollsters who predicted a Trump win, but did not overestimate his support in a single state. So, sometimes the Republican guys get accused of being, oh, you're just in the tank for the GOP, you'll say whatever. Well, we predicted the win, but every single state he exceeded what we said. He never got below it. And I think that's significant. One, it proves we were right down the line. We weren't just saying what the GOP audience wanted to say, and sometimes they weren't happy about that. But when it's all said and done, all the votes were counted, and it may be a while with Arizona and Nevada to get to full counting. But when it's all done, it looks like our error rate is going to be between 1.4 and 1.6. That's better than we did in 20. And in 20, we were number two. And that's better than we did in 16. And in 16, we were number one.
Nice.
So that is a tremendous, our cumulative error rate in presidential elections is obscenely low. I mean, we're talking right at two total. And nobody's even close to that. But it's doing it once, I always joke about, broken clock can be once a day. But, consistently doing this in every presidential election we've been a part of, we're proud of that. you know, we're proud of our backyard in North Carolina and Georgia, getting 0.2 of a point off of each one of them. That's especially hard because I think I've always thought those were the states that were going to be hard, because I think Kamala increased enthusiasm in those places while she decreased it in the blue wall states. I said from the beginning, I thought she was going to be a bigger threat in the Sun Belt than she was in the Rust Belt, because Rust Belt people were not going to embrace her. And there were lots of people in the Sun Belt who were just not going to vote or not energized. And she provided that energy. And we saw it. I mean, it was palpable here in Atlanta. I mean, you can see it everywhere. They did a good job of turning out, but they just didn't do what they could have done. And also the increased accountability. There weren't random drop boxes. Everybody wasn't mailed an absentee ballot this time. Mm. You had to make an effort. You had to show your ID. And there was a lot of that around the country. And I think that also contributed to this being able to be counted in most states on election night, and to this being seen as extremely fair. And most of these states, you had to jump through some hoops to vote by absentee in the mail. And you had to show voter ID if you voted early in person. And, you know, until we can get some kind of system where everybody votes on election day, except for a very few exceptions, this is as close as you're going to get. And this is good. It also let the campaigns focus on low propensity because the voters they had were already in the bank.
Yeah, the early vote really did pan out, Ryan.
Robert, this is Ryan Wiggins. There's always this tone that the mainstream media uses when they report on a right-leaning pollster. Well, it's a right-leaning pollster. But you guys were the most accurate. I mean, you chief among them, as you were just outlining. Is something changing in the industry where they're going to have to stop saying, well, they have an R next to their name?
Well, I mean, they say that. But the thing is, it's like we're expected to believe that as a Republican myself, I can't possibly put an honest poll, but a left-leaning media organization can put out an honest poll. A left-leaning university can put out an honest poll. You know, a left-leaning network or a right-leaning network trying to appear to be down the middle can put out a poll that's a little left finger on the left. All that can happen. But we have to get a label. And listen, they got this little club. They're all in it, this little association. And they go and give each other awards and all that kind of stuff, and saying how they weren't wrong, and figuring out if they were wrong, what they did wrong. I mean, you know, they've got their own little way of doing it. And if you don't do it the way they think you should do it, it doesn't matter whether you're right. You know, it's one of those things that's the kind of invention, you know, the innovation from the factory room floor that made America, but they don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the way we build a car. We don't care if it's faster and more efficient. That's not the way we do it. And in most industries, this goes by the wayside. But since they control it, since each one of the media organizations get to decide which other media organizations are legitimate polls, I mean, I always talk about the quality polls. I'm going to tweet out election night. I said, can tomorrow remind me who the quality polls are? I'm confused.
I mean, exactly.
And I think I got like 5,000 likes. I mean, and it was just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we have to deal with this every year. And, you know, and then, my gosh, that nonsense with Ann Seltzer. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Iowa poll.
How bad was that poll? Explain how that happened.
All, everybody tells you this is the gold standard of polling. All right. She's perfect. All that stuff. First of all, this is the lady who said that Trump was going to beat Cruz, and he didn't. This is the lady that said that Nikki Haley was going to come in second in Iowa and beat DeSantis by a significant margin. She didn't. And so there have been a lot of pretty big misses that were on the scale. So to me, I know she has this record of being so great, kind of like I was in college. I did so well the first few years, and it kind of trailed off at the end. It still looked good at that final grade point average, but it wasn't because of what I did the last 2 years, let me tell you.
It finished strong.
I think she's living on like a 20-year reputation right now. And, you know, Arkansas, I hope she got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because that was extremely damaging her career. And it gave the entire Democrat Party just, I mean, it gave them a little burst of energy at the end. They kind of like popping out your chest at the line in a race. I mean, it really did. Even the so-called unmovable, the prognosticators, they both of the big ones changed their model to the end, like move it up to the vice president 51 and Trump 49. After that weekend, they all bought into it. They all got scared they were wrong.
You know, we're speaking with Robert C. Cahaley right now. I wonder about, I assume, I don't know what it would be, that you don't really have to pull whatever the Trump effect is anymore, the quiet Trump voter. There's always a question mark about.
Oh, it's quiet.
It's quiet, yes. And you've been very close with factoring all of that in. But is it too soon to tell? What does polling look like in the future for the next Republican? Do you have any anticipation on whether that Trump effect, that quiet vote, will maintain? Or do you think that there will be a little more boldness in people's willingness to talk about who they support?
Yeah, we're going to do some little exercises in the next few months to kind of test that out. But, you know, that's called the social desirability bias. And that's existed before. It exists not only when you don't want to admit who you're for, it also exists when you don't want to admit who you're not for. You know, some people go back to the Bradley versus Duke Majan in California. Bradley was the former black mayor of Los Angeles, the poll said he would win, and he lost. And, you know, I grew up in South Carolina, so we always watched Jesse Helms. They said if Jesse Helms was only losing by five, he was going to win. And so I kind of saw both ends of this. And I mean, we even saw it in South Carolina the first time we did statewide polls. Nikki polled better than she did. You know, we had never had a woman governor. We hadn't had an Indian governor. She polled a little better than she did. I mean, she still won, but there was a few people didn't want to say they were for her. I mean, didn't want to admit they weren't for her. And so what I saw that this year a little bit. If there was any one person other than Trump, I saw it with Carrie Lake. I knew Carrie Lake would close strong and said so. And a lot of people just saw these polls showing her so far down. But if there's stigma to saying you're Donald Trump, trust me, there's stigma saying you're Carrie Lake.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the same. So, yeah, I think it will be to that degree on some people. But I think the idea that you are just – one of the things they were afraid of the most in 2024 wasn't being judged. It was being targeted. Mm. They have their name on a list.
That's a huge difference.
You know?
Yeah.
And I see a huge difference and relief from people. I mean, people tell me they're going to go out and buy some more bullets. They're going to go buy some more guns. That they're just not worried about their own government tracking them right now.
Yeah.
How they were in the past. And I think that's what's going to hopefully be different. I mean, and I think Trump will surprise people. I don't expect to see the Trump Justice Department going after and trying to lock up his enemies. I don't see that happening. He didn't do it to Hillary Clinton. I mean, he easily could have. And so I don't really see them doing that. And I certainly don't see them doing that after average Americans. Like, I mean, you know, in the way that pro-lifers saying a prayer for an abortion clinic.
Yeah, domestic
and got
terrorists.
Locked up. I don't see them doing that to a pro-choice protester. I just don't see the Trump administration sending, you know, a SWAT team to their house. I think that overreaction was the kind of thing that was pretty much a Biden team kind of thing.
Robert C. Cahaley on the phone with us, chief pollster and founder at the Trafalgar Group. My question for you, Robert, is we talk about this on the show all the time, that how much can a media outlet influence, like we're talking about New York Times, Siena, for instance, how much influence would the New York Times have over their pollster, Siena? Is it they're inextricably linked, or are they kind of independent, does it depend on the outlet?
They're totally independent. There's no way a polling company would ever want to make a poll that makes the people paying them happy. Come on. Really? I mean, I can tell you one of the hardest things you ever have to do as a pollster, and believe me, I've had to do it. is sit down in front of a candidate and tell them just how badly they're doing.
Oh,
it is so much easier to tell them they're doing great and let them smile. And on election night, when they get shocked, you've already left. and trust me, this business is full of people who do that.
Man.
Wow. But no, it's hard. It's hard. And because, you know, I mean, you only get to do that for so long, and then somebody wants somebody else. I mean, that's what you're looking at. And so you have to be very careful with that. I think everybody has a boss. That's the way it is. Everybody's got a boss somewhere. Whether it's overt pressure, whether it's covert pressure, is debatable. I'm not going to speak to what any one of them is. But what I will say, and what I've said for years, is a poll has one of two purposes. It's designed to reflect the electorate, or it's designed to affect the electorate. And I think we saw a lot of polls designed to affect the electorate in this election. And a lot of, you know, some of us were out there and just trying to make sure the straight scoop was getting out of there. And trust me, we weren't always getting, I mean, I would get something like, well, some polls say Trump's doing better than your polls do, because he ain't doing that good. I mean, that was what I answered, because he ain't doing that good yet. I'll tell you when he's doing good. But the other thing is, a lot of these guys miss. They say, when did it change? Let me tell you when it changed. The weekend of the second assassination attempt.
Yeah.
Because Matt and I were both in the field that weekend. We had data to compare for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. And the hiccup was in two of the biggest battleground states, Georgia and Pennsylvania. And it was significant.
Wow.
And it never changed. And so that's when Trump started up. She started to go down the more people learned about her. But when Trump started to move up was that. Because that was that moment, that galvanizing moment. It doesn't matter what you think, whether you think there's a grand conspiracy or whatever you think. It's just like, that's when average people said, all these attacks on this guy, all the lawfare, all the keeping him off the ballot, the first assassination, this is not random. There are forces trying to keep this guy from being president. And if the people that are running things and control things the way they are hate him that much, I should be for it.
Man, that's such an interesting...
We got a lot of people who didn't like him.
Yes.
Who said, I don't like you, but the stuff that's happened to him makes me have to vote for him.
Bridge too far for a lot of voters. Robert Sika Haley, we follow your polls very closely. We're grateful for your time on the show leading up to the election and today. And as you continue to study the electorate out there, we'd love to hear what you and your partner there have learned. Encourage people to check out.
Remember, Matt's not a partner. We have two separate polling companies.
Okay.
We're just very dear friends. He's in Atlanta tonight, and he's having a big event for the magazine that he owns. But no, we're just buddies. So
you got a podcast, though, right?
I'd love to tell you we collaborate. But no, we do our polls completely separately. I often find different results, but not usually.
Yeah. Polling Plus with Robert Cahaley and Matt Towery. That podcast is still up and going, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Just had a very fun one to end up the election cycle that's out now. Just check it out. Anywhere you get podcasts, just type in the word polling.
All right. Thank you, Robert. We appreciate you. Thank you for everything that you've done here leading up here. We appreciate you very much.
You have a great show. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Shows like yours are why this election got won, not big mainstream media.
That's very kind of you. We appreciate you. We'll have you back again soon. Robert Sika Haley, chief pollster and founder at the Trafalgar Group. Go subscribe to Polling Plus and hear what he has to say. We're going to take a quick break. Ryan, if you will, the Senate Majority Leader, I believe, is going to be speaking here very shortly. We're going to take a quick break, lead into that, and maybe an extended Wiggins America in the 1 o'clock hour.
Sure, yeah, breaking news right now. So,
yeah, there's other senators talking right now in this moment. We're going to get to Thune when he speaks. So keep it right here. Get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and we want you to vote in this poll. Do you have fractured relationships over the 2024 election? Yes or no? Love your comments. We're going to make it a point of discussion in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. As long as you just hold me in.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for being here. It's a new day in the United States Senate, and it's a new day in America. The American people have loudly rejected the failed policies of the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda. And this Republican team is united. We are on one team. We are excited to reclaim the majority and to get to work with our colleagues in the House to enact President Trump's agenda. We have a mandate from the American people, a mandate not only to clean up the mess left by the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda, but also to deliver on President Trump's priorities. We will make sure that the president and his team have the tools and the support that they need to enforce border security laws and to remove the violent criminals who are wreaking havoc in every one of our states. We will work to make America prosperous again by streamlining the bureaucratic machine and overturning costly Biden-Harris regulations. And we will work to restore American energy dominance, not just our energy security, but energy dominance, which will lower costs and bolster our national security. I'm excited to get to work with this team right away. And I want to thank my colleagues who placed their faith in me to serve as leader, and to those who were supporting another candidate, I promise to be a leader who serves the entire Republican conference. We'll have an ambitious agenda, and we'll take each and every Republican working together to be successful. With that, I want to turn things over to Senator John Barrasso, the newly elected Republican whip.
Thank you, Lee. On election night, America saw the remaking of the Republican Party for the better. This election was about the answering to the question of, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And the American people said no. Only one in four Americans thought that the country was heading in the right direction. And you've seen the Republican Party grow in terms of hardworking middle-class families, in terms of minorities, in terms of young people, in terms of families struggling to get by. In the last 3 weeks before the election, I was all over the country with President Trump, with J.D. Vance, as well as a number of our Senate candidates. One of the stories that stuck with me was a woman in Michigan who talked about the fact that she was embarrassed to let her husband know that she had to go to the local food bank in order to get by. Republicans listened to those stories. Democrats were focused on President Trump. Republicans were focused on the needs of the American people, people who wanted to get prices down, wanted to secure the border, wanted us to unleash American energy, people wanted to make America look and be strong once again around the world. That's what the Republicans listened to, that's what we're responding to, and we are now working together to make sure we can put America back on track.
The newly elected Republican Conference Chair is the Senator from Arkansas, Senator Tom Cotton.
Thank you, Senator Thune. I'm looking forward to working with Senator Thune and the rest of this leadership team. I'm very grateful for the confidence that my peers placed in me. We all remember what it was like when President Trump was in office and we had Republicans in charge of the Senate. We had low prices, we had high wages, we had a secure border, we had a strong military, we had a peaceful, stable world. Starting on January 3rd, that's what we'll all be working to build again with President Trump, with Mike Johnson, and the rest of the House Republicans on behalf of the American people. Thank you all.
Thanks, Tom. The newly elected Republican Policy Chair is the Senator from West Virginia, Senator Shelley Moore Capito.
Thank you, and congratulations to our new leader, John Thune. He will be a strong voice, as he has been in the past, as the whip, and I look forward to serving with him and with all of our leadership team. I want to thank the others that ran. We had a really strong, healthy discussion, and we've all come out united and friends. And one of the people that was in our discussion is one of the people that is going to, although he didn't say anything, his presence was very much felt, and that is the Vice President-elect, J.D. Vance. I think the fact that he not only was a voting member of our conference, but also in there with us every step of the way to make sure that the direction that we're going to go as a united conference, and with me leading the policy issues and all of us working together, that we're going to have a united voice. And I'll say one thing about the election. I've said this on all my local stations. What I think the biggest issue was, and there are big ones, border and national security and others, it is literally the American family, the mom and the dad, the grandmother, whoever it is, going to the grocery store. We do it all the time, every week, and we could see, all of us could see, the escalating costs of something so very basic to us, just the cost of food, and hearing from the vice president in her campaign, the economy's doing great, don't worry. And so we hear those voices, we hear them loud and clear, and those are the voices that we're going to respond to along with President Trump through the next several years.
Shelley. The newly elected Senate Republican Conference Vice Chair is the Senator from Oklahoma, Senator James Lankford.
Hey, congratulations to John Thune. We're looking forward to his great leadership there. Republicans were asked a very simple thing. Can you get us back on track? Over 70% of the country right now believes the country is on the wrong track. Our task is going to be very, very simple, to defend our values, to be able to strengthen us as a nation, and to be able to bring prosperity to people that are really struggling right now. That's a primary issue for us, and all of those things are things that we're going to get onto immediately because the American people have spoken and said, we do not like the direction that the country is going, so let's get us back on a better direction. So this leadership team, President Trump, J.D. Vance, we're headed in a direction to be able to get the country back on the track that she is looking for.
Thanks, James. And the newly elected chairman of the Senate National Republican Senatorial Committee chair is the senator from South Carolina, and he is already planning on expanding our majority in 2026. So, Senator Tim Scott.
Hey, brother. Without any question, President Trump set out to make sure that Americans felt like this country and the American dream was alive and well and there for them. From the border to fixing the economy to solving the issue of crime and restoring confidence on the global stage, President Trump has been very clear on his agenda. Our goal with our leader, John Thune, is to make sure that we achieve those objectives. My passion is making sure that we defend our current seats and expand the map and expand our majority so that President Trump does not have 2 years with a Republican majority in the Senate, but he has 4 years in control of making sure that America's agenda comes home to each and every household.
Thanks, Tim. A couple quick questions.
Well, that is the Senate leadership speaking from Washington, D.C., Senator Thune leading the conversation there. I'm so excited about the victories that I know that there are people who wanted Tim Scott. Rick Scott?
Yeah.
Yes. Rick?
Yeah.
Gosh, is that his name? I don't know.
A lot of Scotts.
I wanted Tim
Scott.
Too
many Scotts, really.
I was talking about people that wanted Tim Scott. That was me. I'm people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I made it up.
He got one vote. It was Annie.
I'm just happy. I don't think that the Rick Scott nay is a bad thing. Let's talk more about it with Dory Murdoch when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.